That beat took a big turn. Thought I was heading into like some kind of cool, you know, video game contest where everybody was completely zapped out of their minds and now we're just chilled out.
Yeah.
I like it. What you got?
Nelly, EI, instrumental.
Okay.
Off his first album, Country Grammar. Austin's very own Nelly.
That's right. Exactly. Did you talk to anybody who went to that show?
Yeah, people said he rocked it.
It was good.
Yeah, people say what game was that? Was that the West Virginia game?
Ooh, it may have been. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that was right. Yes, Nelly was an LCL participant this year. Texas will not be home again until November 12th.
Damn. It's
going to be a long time with the off week, then at K-State. Then November 12th is the game against TCU. You only have the two games left against the two Texas teams on the schedule as the home games. Host TCU on the 12th, host Baylor day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. And remember, we find out the K-State kick time on Sunday. I don't know what to tell you to hope for there, Longhorn fans. I do know what to tell you to hope for. The middle of the day is what I would hope for. I'd be hoping for 2:30 because I don't want to have to deal with Manhattan at 11 a.m., because it could be a weird sleepy time deal getting out there and getting ready. And I don't necessarily want to deal with that place at night.
No, definitely don't want to go there at nighttime.
For the whole game. So I'd want to go 2:30.
Yeah, that seems ideal. But hopefully Texas Longhorns during this bye week, hopefully they're getting healthy, going back home. I heard Steve Sarkisian say it's a time where they go back home to their families, enjoy some of mom's home cooking and stuff, get right, come back focused and ready to go for this very tough four-game stretch.
Yeah, it really it's going to be tough because if you're a Longhorn fan right now, you do that math. By the way, this time on Fridays, we normally talk to Jeff Ketchum of Orange Bloods. He's got some things going on, unable to join us today at GK Ketch on Twitter if you want to give him a follow.
Yeah, Ketch said it's off week, bye week. I'm going to be in San Fran doing some things, so Yeah. I'll come back with y'all next week.
No, I know what he's doing. He's probably like burning some kind of weird Philadelphia Phillies incense, or he's got like a Bryce Harper, mannequin that he's got to get dressed up the right way or whatever. He is in that crowd. Those of us that will be rooting for the Phillies in this series, I'll be doing it out of principle. I'm a Rangers fan, so I can't root for the Astros. I'll be rooting for the Phillies to get it done. So will Ketch. He somehow became a Phillies fan, a Sixers fan, but he can't stand and the Eagles, so he will be rooting for the Phillies and not the Eagles. And by the way, in case I hadn't realized this, you realize the Eagles and Texans are going to play next Thursday?
Yeah.
On Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
As the World Series is going on. So kind of crazy there.
It is odd.
Longhorn sitting at 5-3. So you realize that if they go, like right now, Longhorn fans, as you are sitting here, if I gave you a guaranteed split, that's 7-5. Is that enough?
For what?
Is that enough for you to at least feel optimistic about 23? Or do you need 3-1?
No, because this is probably Bijan Robinson's last year here. So it doesn't make me feel too good knowing that he'll be most likely leaving to go to the NFL and we're out here 7-5. No, don't like that at all.
Okay.
Only thing that would make me happy is win your next four.
Yeah,
and that's it.
And of course, 7-5 would also make Sark 12-12 overall. So that whole average discussion would last throughout an off season. Now you get a bowl game there if you obviously one more win and they get a bowl game, so you could end up one game above.
I ain't going front. I had them at 8-4
mm-hmm.
when the season was all done. I know Tech definitely wasn't that lost. So
yeah, nobody
that's
thought
not
that.
Good.
Right. Nobody thought all. That. And let's face it, deep down, I don't think there's a Texas fan. Yeah, you can say what you want about last year's game. I don't think any Texas fan was factoring in Kansas as a loss.
No.
So that's one that you figure Texas fans want to go get that one. But I think they know this conference now well enough. They've watched them play. Watch K-State. Watch Baylor. And watch, who am I leaving out? K-State, Baylor, and who's the other one? TCU. Watch all three of those teams play football. And I'm not telling you I watch it and I think, well, there's no way Texas can beat those three teams. They can. They could beat all three of them. But it's a tough matchup in all three cases.
Yeah.
I do not like that matchup for Texas because all three of those teams know exactly who they are, and they will blood and guts you for four quarters. And we have watched now Steve Sarkisian's crew in two specific games just not be able to find their way out the back end of a game. And they, you know, and they ultimately get out coached over four quarters. They get out schemed over four quarters. And that'd be my worry for those three teams.
Yeah, you got to worry about Steve Sarkisian's woes in the second half and what happens to this team when they're up by these leads. I mean, we've talked about the defense giving up the lead once the offense goes up double digits. Yep. That's a problem. And now we got to deal with all the injuries to the secondary with, you know, Ryan Watts and Jalen Gilbo and Anthony Cook, your best hitter, has a broken arm. Will he even be healthy to play? You know, like, I know guys have played with Cass before, but damn, man, broken arm, that sounds awful. And can Quinn Ewers respond to the horrific game that he showed in Stillwater? We talk about all the time how calm, cool, and collected he is. Well, you got to showcase that now because that was the worst game you've ever played in your career. Can you come back level-headed and be confident enough to get the job done in these four games to give your team a chance to maybe go to Jerry World? And I watch out for that game in Morgantown this weekend. Watch out for that game for TCU. That's a tough-ass, trap-ass game. I will be looking at that. But right before I go to Moody for the basketball game, I'll be watching that game.
Yep.
Because we heard B-Lane. We talk about Neil Brown and his record against
the
spread.
Yeah, that was a nice number.
That's a real nice number. So, you know, TCU, they got to be feeling a little beat up also. Like, with the way they play so physical. Miller and Duggan, you know, I was like, damn, Duggan, how do you last with the way you play? Like, he plays with a recklessness that is like, damn, man. Like, you clearly care about your team, trying to get for every extra yard. Is it smart? But what can you say? Sonny Dykes and TCU, they're rolling right now. I still think this might be a trap game for them against West Virginia on Saturday.
There's a couple teams in college ball that I'm looking for those type of games. That's the number one. Can TCU survive that one? If I'm a betting man, I definitely love West Virginia +7.5.
Oh, yeah.
TCU could win it, but I think they'll win a close battle. I don't think they're going to beat them by 8 or more. So that's one team that I'm focused on. In terms of that impressed factor, I'll be impressed if TCU does that. I'll be impressed if USC goes to Arizona and just handles that business and flattens them, because that's what they're supposed to do. But will they? That's a game they could absolutely be down in. I am interested in seeing what Ole Miss can do at College Station, because the Ole Miss-Bama game is one that's been blinking at me for a while. It's in Oxford. Could they give Bama their second loss of the year? Are they that good? Are they complete enough? Ole Miss gives up a ton of rushing yards.
Yeah, they do.
But the matchup tomorrow, that doesn't favor the Aggies. They don't run the ball that well.
What do y'all do with?
So to me, not much. No, it's defense.
Yeah,
the one thing they have, defense and a little bit of special teams. That's what the Aggies kind of do well. They have to drag you into that sort of game. So can Ole Miss go in there and run the ball and not give up a whole lot of running yards and just pound the Aggies for four quarters? That's a big question, you know, in that one for me. Now, in terms of the Longhorns, let's go with the optimistic side, because you mentioned Jerry World. That's obviously where the Big 12 title game is. Let's talk about another city that's not Arlington and New York, and how you could still maybe have a discussion about New York. And number five, you're 5-3. We have seen Heisman winners on 9-3 football teams. It's possible. And right now, tell me if you agree, Zay, I think there's one guy that could take the Heisman off from an elite team that could take it from everybody else, and then Bijan and everybody else might not have a shot, and it's Stroud.
Yeah.
From Ohio State. If they just roll. Because obviously with the shakiness of Bama, it's not anybody on that team. Georgia, to me, just doesn't feel like they have one guy that's ready to go to New York and take the whole thing. It's not Stetson Bennett.
Hell no.
It's not. I mean, you know, they got weapons, and they're maybe the most complete team, but I don't think it's that guy. And then if Tennessee keeps rolling, is it Hooker? Could he find his way to New York?
We'll see. That they got a tough one this week with Kentucky, but we'll definitely see what Hendon Hooker does next week when they go to Athens.
But if Texas... And you, to me, you have to, if you believe that Bijan can be a part of a Heisman discussion, then I think you cannot lose another game. Now you have exhausted your opportunities. You got to win them all. You got to win. You got to close it out at 9-3, and he has to be an impactful part of it. So back to some of these numbers we've been looking at this week, Zay. I told everybody 6.1 yards a carry for Texas on those second and longs. To me, that's one of the things that can unlock things for Sark. He has got to focus in on what do I do when it's second and long. Penalty, play didn't work, or whatever. I think he's fine on the short distances. It's this thing when he gets a little, he freezes a little bit. 6.1 a carry on the second and longs. Last night I went and charted the passes. 8.4 yards per pass on those plays. Now that sounds like, okay, you may want to throw the ball. But a quick breakdown and another idea for why I might go with a run. Because there were 23 incompletions. That's an automatic nothing. 23 incompletions out of 50-some-odd pass plays. So here's your percentage. 41% of the time on those plays, they throw an incompletion, but only 11% of the runs end up in nothing or negative yardage. So from a nerdy football perspective, I'm telling Sark and that crew, again, the only game I took out of here is UTSA. I couldn't find the play-by-play. But outside of that, I would tell them, don't be afraid to run the ball second and long because you've had better results overall. And because, again, all we're talking about is just setting up a third down you can get.
Yeah.
We're talking about setting it up to move the sticks. So I would caution them about all those incompletions. Were there touchdowns in there? Yes, 5 touchdowns off of them, second and long passes. I'm not saying it's been awful, but I would still not be afraid to go at that running game. And if you do it, and if you lean on number 5 more than you have, you give him a chance to get into a New York discussion. I think back on this region and RG3 was able to go get a Heisman. They lost 3. I'm pretty sure it was a 9-3 team. The Johnny Manziel A&M team, they weren't perfect. They lost some games. Now, they lost 2, I think, instead of 3, but they lost. The Ricky Williams team lost games, but it was about building that momentum towards the end of the year and establishing this is the guy.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. It's number 5 show. They're going to really have to turn on that and beat these 4 teams. Not just beat them with number 5. That's how you get him into the New York conversation. They got to start next week because that is that the sand is draining out of that hourglass fast.
Yeah, it is. And if you're Steve Sarkisian, what would make you want to give it to Bijan Robinson more is what you saw from Quinn Ewers this past Saturday in Stillwater. I mean, as much as you love your quarterback and know that he can make every throw, Bijan Robinson's the best player on this team. So you got to figure out different ways to get him the ball. Okay, Oklahoma State stopped the counter that was very successful for you in the first half. How can you counter to that? How can you respond?
Got to counter the counter.
Yeah, got to counter the counter. How can you come out with a more spicy, sexier playbook to get number 5 more opportunities to where they don't stop you and you just give up? I feel like he'll get stopped a couple of times and they'll just kind of give up on the run game, or he doesn't have complete faith in this very young offensive line, which – they didn't look too good against Oklahoma State. So, when you got this type of schedule and all these good teams coming up, if Bijan Robinson has really good games, then hell yeah, you could see him in New York and, getting some hardware. Yeah. But, at the end of the day, the main objective is to just win the 4 games.
Sure.
I don't give a damn how you do it.
No, I agree with
Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson, Keelan Robinson, JT Sanders, Jordan Winnington, who needs to be more involved. His one catch, 23 yards, was unacceptable on Saturday.
That's
ridiculous.
Where did he go?
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Let's not get caught up in him being a good blocker. The man can catch too. He can block also. Let's get him the ball. And come on.
And the other thing is that frustrated me about watching that, Zay, and rewatching the game, he is so good at the routes that I would argue could have helped Quinn out of his problem.
Yeah.
Right? Those little short, quick hit routes. Instead of trying to always take those long shots, I still wonder now how Sark is going to look at Quinn Ewers. I'd love to ask him, if Lavelle Edwards watched you throw 30 incompletions, what would he do? What would he do back in the day? Would he just keep letting that happen? Like over and over and over and over again, that part was weird. But I think it can all work together. because to me, what they do best will get Bijan into that discussion possibly if they want it to be there. But I agree with you. They've got to get things reset. And they've got to get on it quickly, and you got to stop packing those damn penalties at road games. You cannot do that again. You can forget about the Oklahoma State with none. I know that sucks, and that's not realistic, and they should have had a couple penalties. I don't know. I cannot think of a penalty that got called against Texas in that game, Zay, that I thought was a crap call. I can't think of one.
Yeah, and that's coaching.
Everything,
like, how disciplined is your team?
Yeah, everything they showed, I'm like, that's a flag.
Yeah, one thing I also would say is concerning, Chad, the lack of production from the third wide receiver. Once Casey Kane had that drop against Iowa State, it seemed like that was it. Like, I don't think he's caught a pass since then. You know, the whole Savion Red thing, that was weird. So I get JT Sanders is, in a way, the third wide receiver, but he's a tight end. You know, like, there's his job and role is a little bit different. So how can they bring in a third wide receiver to make it easier for Quinn Ewers, to where Xavier Worthy isn't being covered like he's being covered, you know? And then going back to the Jordan Winnington, it's just bogus that he didn't get as many touches as he should have gotten. But yeah, the whole just lack of production from the third wide receiver, whether it's Casey Kane, Savion Red. Hell, Brandon Thompson had a nice catch against Oklahoma State that went for some yards. I want to say that was his first catch of the season. Like, can he maybe be the third receiver? That's not necessarily his spot. He's more of the Xavier Worthy type of guy. But can, with these 2 weeks that you have to practice, maybe we should take a look at that if I'm Steve Sarkisian and his coaching staff on putting some guys in that spot to just maybe see some more balance all around.
And what about, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting about injuries, but Ajai Hall and Milton, are they still healthy?
I think Ajai Hall's getting redshirted.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Because they made those nice catches at the end of, was that Bama? End of the Bama game? When they needed those big catches?
I don't know. Tyreek Gunn was out there on Saturday.
They beat Chad at least a decent catch. Somebody says Jay Witt was open, Ewers kept going to Worthy, and that was... That does have a little bit of that feel too, and that's frustrating to watch as a fan when the quarterback's not on and he keeps focusing in on one receiver and he can't hit that one receiver. Texas in the off week, we've been continuing obviously to talk about that, and Longhorn sitting at 5-3. If you have thoughts on it, Specs text line is there, 337-3776. The three ranked matchups this week does include that Oklahoma State K-State game, plus we've been talking all week about the TCU West Virginia game, sleepy time in Morgantown. Will TCU stay undefeated? And don't forget about that Baylor Tech game. Obviously, Longhorn fans, you got one of those teams off your schedule, but if you want to continue to scout out those Baylor Bears, let's see if Aranda and the crew can go to Lubbock. Evening kick. Things get a little crazier in Lubbock at night. That wind is never going to stop blowing. Are they ready to go? Can they pack the run game and get that win? Obviously, Longhorn fans, you know you end it with Baylor at home.
I think Joey McGuire has an advantage being on Dave Aranda's staff at one point in time.
I would think so too.
I really think he has an advantage just knowing what Dave likes to do and stuff, and the way that Morton's been throwing the football. I mean, they beat Texas. They're not a bad team.
No, they're not.
Have their lapses and whatnot, but
you know what they are?
They're a tough ball club.
Yeah, but they're a tough out is what they are.
They're a tough ball club.
You have to beat Texas Tech. I don't know that they don't feel like they'll beat themselves a lot. You got to go beat them. That's a game that I'm actually kind of glad they got it out of Jerry World. Remember, they used to play that game at Jerry World every year and try to convince us. Yeah, they kind of try to convince us all it was some kind of big rival game that needed to be neutral. I like that game as a Lubbock Waco game.
Yeah.
That just feels right to me. That needs to be an old feel Southwest Conference-ish kind of thing where they're dragging each other to their place that neither of them ever felt right at Jerry World. I'd say the same thing for A&M and Arkansas.
That's weird.
As much as I don't ever want A&M to ever play in Fayetteville ever again, it just feels weird as a neutral, and it feels weird there. It doesn't feel like either team really benefits from it.
Well, these two teams, you would like to think that they're going to be each other's biggest rival once Texas dips to the SEC.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
At least one of them. And those are two teams that have been kind of, in a way, look for rivals. I would assume, you know, Baylor and TCU is going to continue to be something that people look for.
True.
But you're right. Tech and Baylor is an interesting one. Home and home, I think, will help that to continue to grow. That is a 6:30 kick, ESPN2, if you're sitting in front of your TV, Longhorn fans, on your off week. Why Today Matters coming up on October 28th. I got a lesson for you kids, and it's going to save you a lot of money. I promise. This is The Horn.
I came to bring the pain, hardcore from the brain. Let's go inside my astral plane. Find out my mental, based on instrumental. Record, hey, so I can write monumental. Methods, I'm not the king, but this is decaf. I stick them for the cream. Check it, just how deep can get. Deep as the abyss, and rubbers is mad fish. Accept it, in your cross color, close your crossed over. Think I totally crossed out and crisscrossed.
All right, rolling through a Friday. I like the style. I don't quite recognize that voice. Should I? Oh, Wu-Tang Clan! Hang on, hold on.
Specific rapper, though, in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Specific rapper in the Wu-Tang Clan. I always end up guessing RZA, but he's not a rapper, right? He's the producer.
I mean, he raps too, but it's definitely his raps are weird.
Yeah, that's not his part of it. All right, tell me who it is.
Method Man.
Method Man. Okay.
Yep, Bring the Pain off of his classic T'Kow album.
This is a Method Man album, not a Wu-Tang album?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so after the Wu-Tang album, their first album, 36 Chambers, RZA set out a plan to release the members' individual albums. So, like, they had a run where Raekwon, GZA, Meth, Ghostface Killa, ODB, all those guys had albums in like a 5-year span. They're all classic albums, all produced by RZA.
Yeah, they were way ahead of their time on that stuff.
Oh, incredible.
In fact, they might be alone in the way they handled that, because not many bands of any genre would have handled things the same, the way they were able to do it.
Yeah, because how are you going to spread the money around with 9 members? And RZA was like, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go to each different record label and say, hey, Loud Records,
we'll focus
on ODB, Def Jam, you get Method Man, Raekwon, and Ghostface Killa, y'all go y'all's route, and we'll produce y'all's albums throughout there, yet we still got Wu-Tang intact, and we'll come back together whenever we can to tour.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Way back in the day, the band Kiss each did a solo record, and then they still stayed together. Now, 3 of those 4 records are hot garbage, and the other one is kinda garbage.
Who had the good one?
The only one that I thought was decent was Ace Frehley's. Ace's was okay.
Okay.
And the others, yeah.
They all just had their like faces on the covered albums, right?
Correct, yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're all the same, just their faces.
They're different faces. Yeah.
I thought that was cool. That's a dope.
They all had to get it out of their system, was that. There's not a ton of great stuff on those records. But it's cool that you let them get the creative stuff out, and then you come back with the band. That is good stuff. A lot of bands have been able to try to figure that out, so shout out to Wu-Tang for figuring that stuff out. Method Man, Nelly, SOS Band, Saxon, Jerry Lee Lewis, rest in peace. The Killer died today at the age of 87. Of natural causes at his Mississippi home around his family, and the Pretenders got us started today. All right, a lot of football on the board. Remember, it is Lake Travis and Vandergrift tonight. Flex pregame at 6:30. Vandergrift kicks at 7 on 101.9 and AM 1260. 7:30 is Lake Travis at Austin High. And remember, the Ball Don't Lie guys, they are out and about at Golffinity. If you are a golf freak, check 2 things out we've got going on. Golffinity this afternoon. They're at 6:20 over there. It is a one-stop shop for all your golf stuff. Get on out there and check it out. And then tomorrow, two of our Saturday shows, Playing Through from 7 to 8, and then 8 to 10 with the Big Ugly Tailgate. They will be out at the UT Golf Club. It is our golf course of the month. And so check that out. They'll be out there for that. The rest of the Saturday shows will be here in the studio tomorrow. Men's basketball tomorrow at 3 on the Horn. Women's basketball Sunday at 2 over on 105.3 The Bat. All right, I'm going to try to help the kids here and Why Today Matters. We'll see if Zay approves. Let's go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
It's brought to you by those good folks at Sinus and Snoring, and I did have a good night's sleep last night thanks to them. So shout out to them one more time. All right, Zay, I like to try to provide a service, a little PSA for the people when this comes around. So tomorrow is the 44th birthday of Travis Henry, the running back. If people don't remember Travis in college, he was a badass at Tennessee. I mean a badass running back at Tennessee. Two or three teams in the NFL as well. Travis is one of the athletes that we have covered over the years that ran into an interesting math problem that I think can be dealt with, but you got to deal with it before it starts. That math problem is at least 11 kids by 10 different women.
Oh, fam.
Travis Henry ended up in that situation. At one point, it was estimated that Travis owed at least $170,000 a year in child support. So,
just put the Jimmy hat on, dog.
Here's what Uncle Chad is telling you. I know who I am and who I am not, and throughout my life, I have not had sex with a whole bunch of different women. Do I wish I had? Yep, I do. But I have not. If I was that type, I would want to protect myself. I would want to protect the investments. I would certainly want to protect whatever talent I had. So if you are a talented athlete, a talented male athlete, I'm talking to you right now. You want to protect yourself. Do you really want to be given $170,000 to something like that? I'm not saying don't have kids. That's not what I'm saying. I'm going to assume Travis Henry did not intentionally have as many as 11 kids with 10 different women. That's what I'm going to assume. So, in the case that you're not always trying to have a kid just because you're having sex, Uncle Chad is also going to tell you this because I did a little research for you. I went to Amazon and I found condoms for 46 cents a piece.
Damn.
46
I don't think I trust a 46 cent condom.
A piece. No. You buy in bulk.
Okay.
It was Trojan.
Okay.
Buy in bulk, 46 cents a piece. Uncle Chad is just trying to help you out. I am not going to be on you if you're whorish, because if I was young, talented, good-looking, I'd be whorish too, but I'd be protecting myself. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That is math you do not want to get involved in, and every time I see Travis Henry's name, I feel the need to come on the air and give you the PSA. Please protect yourself. Young men of America, please.
Yeah, you hear these stories about guys like Travis Henry and Antonio Clamardi, who has buku amount of kids, and Nick Cannon and stuff like that. It's just, why, you know, why? Yeah. I get it. You know, you got the money in a way, but that's a lot of child support, and the condom it's not bad.
If you actually are meaning to do it, that's a different discussion. But if it's laziness, that's where I'm telling you, you just got to protect what's yours.
Oh, don't be lazy. You never want to urinate Tabasco. Don't be lazy.
You have got to protect what is yours, man. All right, elsewhere, we got Andy Dalton with a birthday tomorrow. Dalton's going to be the starter for the Saints this week. In week 8, who's it the Saints are playing? That's a decent game, right? Where's that game? Oh, yeah, the Raiders-Saints. That'll be a crazy one in New Orleans. Dalton gets the start there. He's 35 tomorrow. Katy, Texas, in case you don't know that, a Texas boy, Andy Dalton.
That's right.
Of course, he went to TCU.
Did he win a state championship at Katy? I feel like he did.
Ooh, I think he might have. He was at least on a team that went in
went
a
deep.
Big run.
Yeah, all those Katy teams usually go far.
Yeah. Also, Zay, tomorrow, got to give it up to her because she's one of my favorites. How about the big 5-0 for Gabrielle Union tomorrow?
Man, Dwayne Wade. You've had a hell of a basketball career. That might be your biggest accomplishment, my guy.
The fitty spot for Gabrielle Union.
She looks like she's 33 years
she
old.
She does. Go ahead, GU. Yeah, that you talk about what you want to look like at 50. I wouldn't have guessed that either. I'm with you. I'd have said 38.
Yo, talk about somebody who didn't have those Tom Brady problems. Gabrielle Union was like, yo, you're not looking too good at the end of your career, D-Wade. You should probably wrap this up and we could go on vacations and stuff. And then he looked at her fine ass and was like, yeah, you probably right. So,
yeah,
good decision by him. Now he owns, I think he's part owner of the Jazz and stuff, living a very good life.
He said, you got a point there, Gabs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I listen to her, too.
Good point. Also, today we got double nickels for Julia Roberts. Happy birthday to her. And one of my favorite hits in football history has a birthday. Steve Atwater is 56 years old today. I don't often celebrate an Arkansas Razorback, but I got to celebrate this one because when Steve Atwater hit Christian Okoye on Monday Night Football, it changed our lives forever. And the fact that they had Steve mic'd up that night and we got to hear the NFL films and see the NFL films version of that, it sounded like a cannon had been fired. It was awesome.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite safeties there. I love secondary players, especially, you know, those classic ones that used to hit, like Atwater and John Lynch, guys like that, man.
Ronnie Lott.
Yep. Yeah, man. Steve Atwater used to lay wood rocking that 27 for the Broncos.
Dude, he was something, man. When he and those Arkansas Razorbacks were on the Aggie schedule back in the Southwest Conference days, you knew you were in for a fight in Fayetteville or College Station or wherever you were playing. My God. Yeah, that was some good teams back then, and those Denver teams were badass too. All right.
He has rings. He got rings with 97, 98, right?
No, I think he would have been gone by then.
He was gone by then?
I think.
Sure?
With the double check. I think all Atwater has is Super Bowl losses. I think he's got the Elway losses. I don't think he's got any of the wins. Double check me on that.
I feel like he wore the newer jersey that they won.
Hey, double check. You might be right. I don't remember.
I feel like he wore that.
No, I don't remember him in the new horse. I remember him in the old blue.
In the old, like the orange.
Yeah.
In the orange and the blue.
The helmets. Old orange.
I definitely remember
the crush.
There, but
yeah, yeah. Wearing the.
Maybe at least one of the rings.
Wearing the Sammy Winders, the Ricky Natils.
Yeah, maybe not the Falcons win, but the first one against the Packers.
Okay. We'll double check it. We'll double check it and see. Coming up, stems and seeds before we get out of here on a Friday. Lots of football on the board, and we will get you a couple of updates here before we get out of here, including maybe a little talk about that first start for Sam Ehlinger right here on the Horn. Just about to wrap it up on a Friday. Oh, this sounds like something young that the kids are into. I should probably stop talking because that'll just make it way cornier than it needs to be. What do you got?
Yeah, you don't know this.
No, no way. Go ahead.
Swag Surfing by Fast Life Youngsters.
Wow.
Yeah, it's their one-hit wonder. I can't name you another Fast Life Youngsters song, but this is a classic that gets played at almost every college basketball / college football stadium.
I can hear that. Yeah.
Because it's a cool song. There's a dance you could do, like swag surfing. You go back and forth with the crowd and stuff like that. Yeah, the Texas Longhorn fans, they're not the best swag surfers, but, you know, there's always room for improvement.
There you go.
Always room for improvement.
Hey, don't stop believing that you can become a good swag surfer.
Yeah, maybe the corral will be better at Moody.
Maybe
the corral, which that's the new student section. That's the name of the student section for the basketball team. Maybe when Swag Surf comes on, we'll have a more, more rhythm to the Swag Surf.
Can't believe they named the section before they've even played a game.
Don't like that?
Let it happen organically.
Yo,
just kind of let that happen.
Nah. When McConaughey comes to town, he's gonna.
You like it ahead of time?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. A lot of stuff going on around here. We got a local product about to start his first NFL game as a quarterback. Let's hit that, and maybe we'll have room for Jerry and Halloween. Let's go stems and seeds. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. By the way, shout out to our man Craig Way, who told us Katie did win the title with Andy Dalton, 17-3 back in 08. Of course, he knows the score because Craig called the game. Also, Zay, credit to you. Steve Atwater got both of those rings with Elway. I don't know why I was trying to take them from him.
Yeah, I thought so.
I am so sorry. Congrats to Steve Atwater. Happy birthday to him. All right, Zay, Sam Ehlinger with the Colts. Does he
get
this win? Does he get it?
Yeah, he does. Taylor Heineke's my dude, but I got to roll with Bam Bam Sam. His first ever start. Hopefully Frank Reich gets that playbook ready for him and yep. He's ready to go. But yeah, it's still the NFL. We know how tough and week to week can it be. Hopefully Sam, which we know he has the mental toughness to do so, hopefully he can put it all together and get some wins for the Colts.
Most important thing to me for Sam Ehlinger, show them your arm, young man. I'm not saying you're not going to run. Don't let them think of you as a guy that they're just using for your feet. Throw every throw you can. Find every window and hit it. Show off Taylor. Show off Pittman, Campbell, Mo Alie-Cox. Remind everybody about the talent you guys have, especially when you block it well. If he gets the blocking he needs, they've got talent.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan just hadn't been able to figure out how to get it to him.
No. And Matt Ryan having the shoulder injury, all the turnovers he had, I think this is a good move for the Colts. And, yeah, I think Sam, just with his leadership and mentality, you know he's won the locker room. I'm very eager to see what he does on Sunday.
No doubt. That is a noon kick with Indy and Washington. My bad, 3 o'clock kick, 3 o'clock window, Indy hosting Washington. All right, real quick, let's see if we can get Jerry on Halloween in here. He was asked about Halloween. Jerry said, candy corn had a short life around my house. I was in the hunt for Red October to find any of it. Some of those Cracker Jack balls, those popcorn balls that had put in them with syrup with it. Now that's an old reference there. I can remember getting homemade stuff when you'd go around trick-or-treating. The thing that amazes me today is how much you get. I can remember back when you'd get a couple fingers worth of candy. Of course, Jerry describes it as fingers, as much as he drinks. Man, I'm telling you, I've thought about having 4 or 5 of these kids go out here and get me some candy. What a time. Halloween's a lot of fun. It's an exciting time. I got little kids around that have Top Gun outfits on, and they're the cutest things I've seen in a long time. And then he said, when you see that one kid that looks like they're a little weird because they've been moving like they've been hit by a car crossing the street that night, that's old Jerry trying to act like he's 12.
What? That Johnny Walker Blue must be hitting hard, huh?
Ooh. Do I need to remind everybody again he's 80 now? 80 and Johnny Walker Blue. Yeah, 80 plus Johnny Walker Blue is going to get you that. Ball Don't Lie coming up from Golffinity. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday. Back at it for the Longhorns, getting ready for K-State. Stay safe. See ya!